Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, Deadpool 3 is going ahead at Disney as a rated R film. And your feedback, all of that and more right after this, and we have no control over.
But what of the sea cucumbers, Jeff?
Oh my God, Matt. We're not talking about She-Hulk.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
All right, my friend, you have told me that we have some wonderful news based on
wonderful.
Deadpool, right?
Sure.
Some Deadpool news.
Some would call it wonderful, yes.
I apparently call it wonderful.
You do. So there's been a question. There's been a question underlying the Fox acquisition by Disney for a while is what are they going to do with Deadpool, especially Deadpool 3? Are they going to make a Deadpool 3? Is it going to still be Ryan Reynolds? Are they going to continue doing the rated R structure? Like, are they going to change it in any way?
What to do with a character like Deadpool?
Basically, yeah. But it looks like, according to all of the stories that I've seen coming up, is that Disney is going ahead with Deadpool 3. And they're going to continue it as a rated R film. It will continue the way that they are currently going. This is the way.
This is the way.
As they like to say now. So I figured you would be super excited.
I'm super pumped. I definitely do not want them to do this as a PG-13 film. Absolutely not. This needs to be rated R. It needs to be Deadpool. Now, the one thing that's not detailed yet is we don't have for sure if it's crossing over with MCU, right?
I don't know that that's been confirmed in any way.
Right.
Like we know who the writers are going to be. And we know that Ryan Reynolds is coming back. We know that Disney is pushing forward with it, but we're not sure if it's going to, like, we're not sure if Kevin Feige has embraced it and bringing it into the fold. But it really doesn't matter because Deadpool could do whatever he freaking wants.
Absolutely. I am a little, you know, I don't know. I understand Kevin Feige being hesitant because it's, you know, it's not his thing. It's completely different. I don't know. But weird. I just looked up Deadpool 3 on IMDb because I wanted to see who the writers are, and the picture on IMDb is a video of someone posting with Denzel Washington as Magneto. So that's weird, right?
I'm telling you, man. They listen to our podcast, and we decide the future of the MCU more than we know. More than we know.
Man, I would love them to pay me.
Right? Okay. Send that check over. Maybe you guys haven't gotten my address right. I'll just read it. I'll just send it out on the cast.
Say it right here on the cast.
Yeah.
So who are the writers?
The writers are from Bob's Burgers, actually. They are
weird.
A pair of sisters, Wendy Molyneux and Lizzie Molyneux-Loughlin.
Weird, from Bob's Burgers, you say?
Yep.
I'm not a Bob's Burgers fan. Do you like Bob's Burgers?
I love Bob's Burgers.
It's great.
A ton of fun.
A lot of my really good friends love Bob's Burgers, and I've had multiple people try to show it to me, and so far, not a fan. I don't know. I've only seen a few episodes. Like I said, people be like, you have to watch this, and then I watch it. I'm like, yeah. But I will say, I thought the same thing the first time I watched Rick and Morty, and now Rick and Morty, I think, is absolutely genius. But okay. Yeah, that's interesting. They're Bob's Burgers. I mean, they definitely have comedy chops. Like, I just love the first two so much. I don't want them to change the writing team at all, you know, which I think they did. They changed some of the writing or directing between the first and second. So it's, you know, I think Ryan Reynolds has a certain idea for the tone this needs to set, you know? So I think he'll be a good shepherd of it, if nothing else. And none of these two women won't do a wonderful job. I don't love Bob's Burgers, but I'm glad you do. That gives me hope.
Gives you a little bit of hope. Well, I mean, looking at it, they did not change directors. It was David Leitch. And then the writers were Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick. Oh, no, sorry. The director did change. It was Tim Miller on the first one. But yeah, the writers, Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, were on the first and second Deadpool movie.
Nice.
So I don't know. I like those two writers, or rather, I like Bob's Burgers. So I would assume I like those two writers for writing comedy. I just don't know that a film is going to translate the same way, you know?
Yeah.
Because I remember Iron Man 3 and Thor 2 were both directed by people who had done mostly TV stuff or you know, other things that were not tentpole films. Especially the Thor 2, the director of Thor 2, he was mostly known for Game of Thrones beforehand.
Yeah, Iron Man 3 though was directed by Shane Black, who did a number of movies before that.
Okay.
None of them very good. I like Shane Black's work a lot, so.
None of them very good.
But clearly we disagree on that, as we have detailed in many, many, many times over the years.
Yeah, that's an ongoing debate.
Shane Black's
never
great,
going
man.
To be resolved.
So good. Shane Black's great.
Anyway. I don't necessarily have a whole lot of faith in bringing in TV writers and directors and whatnot to go into movies. But, you know, I keep saying it, like, I trust Marvel. I trust Feige. I trust in the Feig.
In Feig we trust. So, yeah, by the way, you were correct that he had not done TV, but Shane Black had only done Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which I'm surprised by. I thought he'd done other things. He'd been an actor before, I guess.
Yeah.
I know he was an actor in a few things, but yeah, he'd written on things, but he only directed Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which I love.
Okay.
But anyway, just had to point that out. You were correct. He hadn't done a lot of big tentpole movies, but Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is great.
It was all right.
It's wonderful.
It's pretty good.
Everybody watch Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. And
it was pretty good.
Tell Jeff how good it is.
I mean, it was all right.
Anyway, so neither here nor there. I'm pumped for Deadpool 3. I'm pumped that it's at Disney, and I'm pumped that, you know, they're getting some new blood in there. I think that could be interesting.
Yeah, yeah. It's you know, it's good to change it up every now and again. That way you don't get the fatigued writing or the, you know, the same old jokes from the same old people.
For sure.
And you know, I guess that kind of illustrates that, you know, Disney's going to do it the way that they want. And you know, we'll see what happens. Cause we're in that critical stage of like, how do they take the beloved things from the verse that they acquired and bring it into the currently beloved things that they already had, and also change or redo the not so beloved things from the verse that they acquired without negatively affecting the verse that we already love.
Yeah. They're threading some needles here to try to bring, you know, it's sort of DC's, talking to Dave from the DC on Screen podcast, we've talked a lot about what is DC's problem? Like, why can't they get it together? And part of the problem, not all of it, but part of it is there's other versions of these things that already exist. So as soon as you put a Batman movie, you're out. As soon as you make a Joker, you're automatically comparing it to every other Batman and Joker that has existed, you know? And we already have a beloved Wolverine. We have a pretty beloved set of like Magneto and Professor X's. And like those are going to be things that people actually have to compare, which Marvel hasn't had to do yet. Have they had that with any, except for Quicksilver?
Spidey,
that's true. That's true.
There were two other versions of Spidey that have been in big cinema in recent years, like within the past 20 years.
Yeah, so that's a fair point. Spidey breaks that mold.
There again, they had Tom Holland, who is the perfect combination of Peter Parker and Spider-Man. Like, he was such a good Spider-Man and such a good Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Tobey Maguire was mostly just a good Peter Parker. Andrew Garfield was mostly just a good Spider-Man. Like, Tom Holland was awesome.
That's true. I wonder, you just have to take it to the next level. And I think they did that with Tom Holland. They took it to the next level and they also told a different kind of story. They didn't redo the origin. And I'm just curious what they'll do with the X-Men and Fantastic Four as they come in. I think Fantastic Four, they don't have an uphill battle nearly as much with X-Men. Not the X-Men is that beloved, but it is, you know, people do love those movies. But just not in the same way. They feel a little dated now. I think it's time. It's okay. It's time for an update, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's time for a reboot.
Yeah. Time for boots.
The one thing that we really need to watch out for is, you know, the First Family. The First Family has not been done in cinema form in a beloved manner at all.
Right.
And we're talking about Fantastic Four here for the people who aren't aware of what First Family means. But in comics, Reed Richards is a really, really big deal. Like, the Fantastic Four are a really, really big deal. So getting them right and like nailing that family it's going to be a big task. And that's got to be. That's kind of got to be their crux for the foreseeable future, because he's basically like Reed Richards is basically going to be the next Tony Stark.
If done well, yeah.
I mean, like Tony Stark was the one that was kind of the driving force of.
Oh, I understand. I just think that like it's going to be a process of them seeing what works. They as much as right. we love to say that Marvel has these like grand plans, and they do, but they also have contingencies. And you know, if they put out Incredible Hulk and Iron Man the same year, and then they went with the Iron Man direction, you know what I mean? So I could see them like coming up with some X-Men ideas, some mutant stories, and also coming forward with some Reed Richards stories, and then realizing, ooh, the X-Men are working and the Reed Richards stuff is not. And he becomes sort of a bit player while the X-Men stuff takes the center stage, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I could see it like that. I think though that, it makes more sense based on what we know about comics in the past. Like Reed Richards is kind of the brain of the verse, so to speak.
Yeah,
so like
sure.
Most of the story could very easily be driven by Reed Richards wanting to do whatever. Much the same way that like you know Tony Stark made Ultron. Tony Stark was the main proponent for the Sokovia Accords. Like. Et cetera and so forth. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
It very easily could be Reed Richards. But then again, you know, it could be public mistrust of mutants. Could, you know, that's an easy win, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And if you get a really great pair of actors for Magneto and Professor X, you've got a slam dunk, you know?
Yeah, which I'm sure we will be talking about for the next 2 years until we get a casting announcement.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think there's even more feedback in the doc for that. I don't know if we'll get to it today because we're doing a bit of a shorter one because our commissioned episode that we meant to make, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes long, we ended up doing almost an hour. So
it was good discussion.
It was.
Man.
I really loved it. I really loved it. And that'll be dropping in the feed in the next couple days. So that's a patron commission right there. But let's get into feedback here in a minute. But before we do want to give you a quick word from our kind of ongoing sponsor because it's a great time. We're dropping this on Black Friday. And a lot of you are out shopping, both online and in stores, and no need to go to stores. If you've got a geek in your life, so especially a male type geek, we have this sponsor, cufflinks.com, that can give you just these freaking amazing, like elevated menswear that is all geek related. And you go to cufflinks.com, they have Marvel, they have Star Trek, they have Star Wars, they have all the sports teams as well. So yeah, just all the things. What else is on there that I'm missing? There's a lot of other
Are you talking about the different brands that they have on there? They've got, let's see, things that we would recognize. We've got DC Comics, we've got Disney. We've got Dune, Game of Thrones, Harry Potter.
Mm.
Let's see. Marvel, MLB, NBA, NCAA, NFL, NHL.
Yeah, you're hearing this. And like the thing is, these aren't cheesy cufflinks. And by the way, they do more than cufflinks. They do ties, cufflinks, tie bars, all kinds of sort of menswear accessories. And we just highly recommend it. We've been doing it. We've got some of these ourselves, and they're just freaking awesome. So if you go over to cufflinks.com, use our promo code MCU15, you get 15% off, and we as a podcast get a cut of your sale. They give us a percentage, which is just freaking awesome. I wore my Star Trek tie bar the other day. It's so subtle. It's like a little starch. It's a little Enterprise, but like if you're just looking at it, it looks like a little metal bar across the tie. But if you look closer, there's a little the Enterprise.
Little Enterprise going across your tie.
I love it so much. It's just so subtle. I've also got some Winter Soldier cufflinks that I wore. I went out and bought a nicer cuffed shirt that fit me well, just so I could use the French cuffs and use the Winter Soldier cufflinks. They're so much fun.
I'm so jealous.
The Winter Soldier cufflinks are jealous making for sure.
They really are.
Super cool. They're like, they look like his arm. They're just like, they're metal, and they get the little black lines that kind of look like the top of his arm, but with the star in the middle. Oh, it's so good. Yep. So subtle. And you guys really should check them out. And if you got a geek in your life to get a present for, please check them out. Cufflinks.com. Just type in MCUcast15 at checkout, and you'll get 15% off, and you will also be supporting your
friendly neighborhood MCU podcast.
Yeah. So come on, do it. And they got all kinds of gift sets for the holidays too. It looks like, I'm looking at them now. They got like sock gift sets with like different Star Wars socks and different Mickey Mouse socks and different things. They're just really high quality stuff.
I really like those Argyle, Captain America, Spider-Man, and Iron Man socks.
Oh, yes.
Like, I might get a set of those for myself. Yes. Those are nice.
They really are. I got some Argyle that look like Argyle, but then if you look closer, they're actually Black Panther faces.
Oh, that's so good. I love how subtle that is.
Yeah. It's like you have to look close to realize it's your little geek flag that you've got, but man, I keep
so professional yet so geeky.
Yeah. I love it. Don't miss out, guys. Cufflinks.com. That's going to be our ad read for today. So check those out, and we'll be, and we're going back to, let's talk about feedback. How about it?
Yeah.
Let's do it. We got a lot of feedback still, because we've been getting a lot lately, and
we're still really working through it.
Appreciate you guys. So we're gonna get through as much as we can here in the next few minutes. What you got in the feedback, sir?
Shield fan sent us an email that says, "Hey guys, I'll keep this short and sweet. I've been watching the new Marvel documentary series on Disney Plus, Marvel's 616, and it is absolutely amazing. I've seen the first two episodes, quote unquote, which are really just mini documentaries so far. You guys should totally cover this on one of the podcasts. I think you will find it very interesting."
So yeah, I don't know. I watched the first one.
I haven't seen it yet.
And the first one is about Japanese Spider-Man, like the Spider-Man that doesn't have, I was actually surprised. Man. It's called Marvel 616. So I thought it was going to be about the comics universe and where those stories, and it was a documentary series. But it turns out it's like about whatever they want to do a documentary about. I know Kamala Khan is featured in one of the episodes. I guess they're going to tell the story of how that character came about. But I saw this Japanese Spider-Man episode. It was really neat, but I was just surprised at what it's about. I don't know. I'm definitely going to check out more, and we will probably talk about it on the cast. I don't know if we'll do like an episode for episode watch or anything, but, we'll definitely mention it as we kind of make it through the series. Because if you're a fan of Marvel, it's definitely something to put on your streaming device for making it through this droughty time. So thanks for writing in about it. Shield
right now they've got 8 episodes up on it, and
is that ongoing?
I don't know if it's ongoing, but there's 8 episodes. So I thought
they dropped it all at once.
It might have.
I may be
it
wrong.
It might have been that. But each episode is like an hour or more.
Yeah.
It looks like the shortest one is 39 minutes, and it's about toys. Oh, there's that Hulkbuster pop that you have.
Oh yeah. Like, oh yeah.
Big Hulkbuster pop. Yeah.
I was really surprised it's called 616. I feel like that's a deceptive name.
I think it's just a combination of all of the things, you know? It's it explores the cultural, societal, and historical impacts of the Marvel Universe and its intersection with the everyday world.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's everything. Yeah. It's all of it.
It's a Marvel docuseries. Can't be mad at
that. Can't go wrong.
Love a good Marvel docuseries.
Love a good Marvel docuseries, bruh.
Okay, what does Marshall Cocker's got to say?
He says, hey guys, I really enjoy the show.
Thank you.
Oh, there's more.
There's
Sorry.
More. Yeah, that wasn't his full feedback.
And we can leave it at that, though, can't we? Like, thank you, Marshall, for letting us know. Anyway, he says, this may still be too soon, but I have been hearing the conversation a lot lately. Firstly, Chadwick is a very tough loss, and I appreciate how he chose to spend his time here. This is probably the unpopular opinion, but I do think that the role of T'Challa is too important to just not have anyone. Not just for the MCU story, but also in having a black man in a leading Marvel franchise role. I can see and be okay with an honorable recasting of the role, maybe somebody like John David Washington, although I do think it's unlikely. I'm also okay with Shuri taking over based on comics and the importance of a black female Marvel franchise lead. However, I feel that the current MCU story doesn't paint her as the best candidate. I can't see her getting through Challenge Day, which brings me to M'Baku. I know that he's a villain in the comics, but I really like his portrayal in the MCU. It's similar to the Skrulls in the MCU not fully being what you expect. I can totally see M'Baku leading Wakanda after the snap, and Marvel can take a movie or two to set up Shuri as Black Panther instead of rushing it. Thank you, Marshall Cockers Jr.
What do you think? I like the idea of M'Baku as Black Panther.
I think M'Baku is probably the most logical step, or the most logical next person to kind of take over and run Wakanda.
Yeah. I mean, he even fought for it in the first movie.
Yeah. And he did a pretty bang up job.
Yeah. And he seems to legitimately care about Wakanda and being a good leader. He's not, as he is not, he's not the villain he was in from comics. And I like that twist on that character a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. The problem though, is that in Black Panther, they burned the heart-shaped herb, right? So, like, if it's not around, then how does he become, you know, how does he become Black Panther?
How does anyone
get the powers? How does anybody? Yeah.
And I'm assuming we'll have to figure that out. I was literally talking to Alyssa about this last night. Like, how will that happen? Will it basically become, if Shuri became of the Black Panther right now, I feel like it would basically be technology based, and she'd basically just be like a really badass Iron Man sort of situation,
right.
Which could be cool, but you know, it is missing that element of the sort of supernatural herb that they use, and I like that. So I don't know. What do you think about recasting?
I think that recasting needs to happen.
Really,
It's definitely something that does need to happen, just because, like, the role is too important. Black Panther is too important, not just in Marvel Comics verse, but also, like, for people. Like, there are children out there that, you know, Black Panther is really the only hero that they can identify with and they can see themselves in.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like, there are children that need that, you know, they need that hero. And he was such a great hero to have show up, like, not having somebody play that role and take on that mantle of T'Challa. Not having somebody do that would honestly be a disservice to black children everywhere, in my opinion.
Yeah. And not even just black children, but like there's something to be said for people that need someone that looks like them. But there's also the idea that all of society needs to see strong black male leaders, you know,
and all of society needs diversity, because that's what society is.
Well, it's that, and you need to be able to, we all learn from TV. Our stereotypes, and like we all, no matter how we try to resist it, like we all have unconscious bias that is filtered in through our culture, and we have not had, we need more than diversity in like, just like, we need this many characters of color in a thing. We need strong, strong, good characters, strong characters that are representing the right things and being the type of, you know, men and women that we all want to aspire to be. And I think that Black Panther is incredibly important to that. I don't think that it has to be Black Panther. I'm so torn, or T'Challa. I'm so torn about this because when Heath Ledger died, I was the guy being like, no, they need to recast him. They need, it just makes logical sense. They just need to recast him. They are clearly planning on a third Batman movie where the Joker features heavily. Because in The Dark Knight, they just introduced the Joker. He's not even the main plot of that movie. He's a B plot to the Two-Face story. The Two-Face story is what that movie's about. And so he left him hanging there by his foot, and he said, we're going to be doing this forever. And I was so excited about what they were going to do next with the Joker. I thought we were going to get a real Joker movie. And we didn't. And I think they were too... we still watch that third Batman movie, and you see that it just feels like they just rushed to do something that they weren't really, wasn't really the story they were intending to tell, you know?
Yeah, it was not the logical next step.
No, the first movie ends with a Joker card, the Batman Begins. The second movie, you get to meet that Joker and see who he's, what he's like. And that third movie I thought was going to be the story of them becoming that, like, you know, yin and yang of the universe that they're supposed to be.
The fated pair.
Yeah. And they didn't. And I think that's such a horrible disservice to that movie. But
to that story,
I am so close to this, and I feel so strongly about Chadwick Boseman and the way what he did for this franchise. And it's really hard for me if they're going to recast him. Like, I all my logical firings in my brain, I feel like they need to recast him. I think he's important to the Marvel universe. He's important to the story. He's important to representation. He's important to so many things, to T'Challa. But
Chadwick Boseman did such an amazing job with that role.
He did an amazing job. And I just think his death and the way he went out like silently and tragically is just so hard for me to like see them recasting him. Like, Heath Ledger was an amazing actor, but I feel like, and not to impugn him in any way, but like what Chadwick did, the way that he decided to go out, keeping the view of his character strong and sort of pure, it is so hard to think about and tragic for me. It's really hard for me to think about recasting. Like, I believe they should, but it will be really hard for me.
Yeah. Marvel has said specifically about that they're not going to do like a digital recreation of him. And they, you know, they are going forward with the movie. So obviously, like, I think that the logical thing is to recast T'Challa. They've done other recastings in the Marvel verse before.
For sure.
You know, we got Terrence Howard got replaced by Don Cheadle, and Edward Norton got replaced by Mark Ruffalo. But those were different circumstances. You know, that was like the actor is being an asshole.
Basically,
And they replaced them. But like this one was like this, you know, this guy's beloved. This is a beloved actor in a beloved role in an iconic performance of that role. And like, how do we get past that hurt now? You know, and yeah. I'm with you in that it hurts a lot, but I think that it's the character and the story are far too important to just let that character go away with Chadwick Boseman passing.
Yeah. Mm.
As much as it hurts.
All of my logic is with you and all of my emotions are against you. I don't know how to, I just watched, by the way, Star Trek is so freaking good this season. Oh my gosh. It is so good. They did a thing.
Discovery.
Discovery, man. It's so, so good. If you like Star Trek, you should absolutely come back and check Discovery out because they are doing new stuff this season and it is so good. But last night they had a thing where the Vulcans have a it actually was really interesting because I think it was tying into a lot of what goes on in our world right now, where there's no facts anymore. Like everyone has their own opinions and there's no facts, and it's really hard to nail down what real facts are. And instead it makes us very divided. One of the characters went to the Vulcan Council and they had to like convince these three groups of people that believed very different things. And so they went through a ceremony, where they like tried to get down to the facts of the matter. And it was all sort of about like emotional truth and real truth. And like, it's like Star Trek is doing things that I want it to do, where they're like really exploring concepts that need exploring. And I just, man, I loved it. My girlfriend was like, what is happening? Like, I don't even know what is happening right now. But it was absolutely fascinating. You're
like, I'm crying is what's happening.
Yeah, I was crying, weeping, like the entire episode. You know me, I get emotional. And it doesn't even have to be like an emotional scene. It has to be like a really good scene. I get emotional at like really good, well-done art and really good, well-done movies and TV. And that last night's episode, I was like basically crying through the whole thing because I just like kept like being like, no, you don't understand. It's a connection because she's Spock's sister and this connects to that. And I was... I was being real geek last night. How about we read Marshall Naylor's feedback? And that's probably going to be the last one for today, because we went really long on the commissioned episode, which will be next in the feed.
Yeah. Marshall Naylor says, the link above is an article where an object of unknown origin, basically an 084, was discovered and they're calling it a monolith. Here are the first few lines. While trying to conduct a count of bighorn sheep, a crew spotted an unusual object in southeastern Utah. The Utah Department of Public Safety Aero Bureau was working with the Utah Division of Wildlife Resources when they spotted the object of unknown origin from a helicopter. The exact location of the installation is not being disclosed since it is in a very remote area and curious visitors could become stranded. And he says, okay, what the hell? This literally sounds like a filler episode from season one of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, I can imagine a random news station saying exactly this. Also, the fuck are bighorn sheep? Edit, it's basically a ram? Again, in my head, I imagine a still good ward. Good ward? Get it? Because his name is... screw it. Having to learn how to ride a bighorn sheep to go to the enemy or whatever. And like in the first episode of Mando. Second, I currently have two episodes left of S.H.I.E.L.D. and I'm so sad and happy that it's ending. I liked the first half of the season a bit better, and this season isn't my favorite, but it's still pretty good, and for all I know, the finale could change that. Enoch's death was really sad. Not Lincoln and Hive sad, but pretty sad. My next email will probably be about the series finale. Lastly, I'm thankful for this podcast, this network, and of course the fans and emailers that love it too. Marshall. P.S. Check out the Kinda Funny Network and YouTube channel. They do podcasts and videos, and they rival you for my favorite network, and my favorite show is In Review. Also, sorry again for the essay.
Huh, cool. We'll have to check that out. I actually really love when you guys recommend other networks and stuff, because often I check them out and I'm like, oh, these guys are kind of like us. And I don't know, it's like neat finding other people that are in a similar vein, I guess. Yeah. But what about this monolith story, man? Did you hear about this? I just felt like we had to cover it this week because it happened this week.
I heard about it.
Did you see the pictures? It looks like straight up like a monolith from a Hydra monolith.
It really does look like a Hydra monolith. And it's honestly, it's scary, you know, because 2020 has been so bad so far.
Right.
And like, you know, finding this is like, this is the final boss, right? This is where something is going to rise up out of the earth and start to...
Yeah, the 2020 final boss is here. Yep. Oh, man.
They're going to activate it. It's going to rise up. And then we're going to... I don't know. Maybe it could be a good thing. This could be the birth of superheroes, you know?
Yeah, we need superheroes. That's probably exactly what we need. Nothing can go wrong, the boys.
Can go wrong.
Nothing can go wrong. There's never been a story where superheroes are... a negative thing for society.
Right.
What we you know, if nothing else, what we just need is people with more power, like more individuals with more power. Like, we don't need, it's just, power is too spread out and not concentrated enough. That's what,
yeah, we need to centralize more power.
Yeah. Agreed. I'm glad we agree on this.
All right. Sarcasm, everybody. All of that was sarcasm.
That was sarcasm. All right, guys. Well, we love you very much. And thank you, Marshall, for saying that about the network. It really means a lot to me. And it's day after Thanksgiving while recording this. And, you know, I'm very, very, very thankful for you guys. Very, very thankful for this community. It has been a bright spot in a really hard year. It's been a hard year in a lot of different ways. And this year, and you guys have made it. I kept thinking, what am I thankful for this year? What's the thing I'm thankful for? And it keeps being the Stranded Panda community, like 100% the Stranded Panda
community.
Every time. It's like, it has meant the world to me. Thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah. Until next time, true believers.
Gobble, gobble.